in that passage, we have the familiar history of Daniel in the lion's den. History that is familiar. History that, you know, for children, especially for children, is often one that they would say is one of their, if not their most favorite, Bible story. In that history, we have the amazing event of the mouths of lions being stopped, so that Daniel, throughout the entire evening, was safe in that lion's den. What an amazing thing that Daniel had peace and safety in the lion's den, while at the same time, one with that finger eye is talking and turning and having no peace. He is in the luxury of his palace. You understand and see a great wonder was performed there by God in that den of lions. If you understand that, we understand that Daniel 6 declares to us the victory of God's grace in Daniel's life. You begin noticing that last week, we looked at what happened in that room where Daniel lived. When King Darius outlawed prayer for his kingdom, and still Daniel prayed. Satan was working, we saw, for King Darius to keep Daniel from praying. But God's grace was victorious in the life of Daniel there. Now that victory of God's grace is continued in the history that we have before us. We see the victory, God's grace in Daniel's life, in faith. Daniel's faith. God gave Daniel strong faith so that even as he faced those hungry lions, he was not afraid. He was calm. We see the victory of Daniel's faith in the text. And we see, and we can say as well, that was not the only victory, that was a great victory, and in some respects, even the greatest victory in this part of the chapter. But we now know that there was a victory, and all the little lions were stopped, so that Daniel's life was preserved. This morning, we will consider this victory, and we continue victory in the lion's den. Look first at what this victory is. And to understand that, we have to understand something about the history here. Remember that the princes who ruled with Daniel under King Darius, they attempted to track Daniel. Now we see in this part of the chapter that they had succeeded in this. They convinced Darius to make this law. Now they caught Daniel praying 3 times a day as he did before. Immediately, these other princes find out that Daniel prayed just as he did before. They went and reported this directly to King Darius. They didn't go that way of asking King Darius, did you not make this law? So, yes, I did. Didn't you say that a man prayed to any other god or any other man within 30 days, but that man would be thrown into the lion's den? Yes, I made that law. Then they say, that Daniel, the report to King Darius, Daniel, has disobeyed his law of the Medes and Persians. And they report that to King Darius, not in the most favorable light, but in the worst possible light. They make Daniel out to be some political rebel. They identify him as one of the children of Israel, one of those Jews, one of the people of Israel from the land of Judea. And that's the problem. Those people are rebels. They will not obey the king's command. He pointed out to the king that this man Daniel really has no right to be in the kingdom. See, we told you so. This man has no right to be in the kingdom. No right, no right to rule over us, the head of the princes. Why then, verse 13 of the text? That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this petition 3 times a day. The king
can't prove this accusation. He was written as a form of a true prophet.
Saw Daniel as a faithful servant of his.
He was a faithful prince.
He knew that these other princes had used him, manipulated him
to get at Daniel.
So the king thought all day about how he might deliver this faithful servant, Daniel.
The king did not declare that Daniel should be thrown into the lion. Then these princes came back to King Darius and reminded him.
This is the law of the Medes and Persians. The law of the Medes and Persians was that any law that was made could not be changed, it could not be altered, it had to be carried out. He said, King, you made this law, you made this, if you don't follow it, it will result in chaos in your kingdom. You must follow through on this.
So Darius was written, commanded, and the punishment be carried out, and then goes to Rome, which is the lion of the king.
You should say something about that lion of the king. You don't know, the pastor doesn't tell us exactly how that lion just looked or how it was made. But most likely, that lion's den was a hole dug in the ground.
Or a pit, you might say. Deep enough that those lions, of course, could not get out of that hole, that pit.
And no doubt, probably in that lion's den, there was a wall of partition that would cut that den in half. In that partition, there was a hole, a doorway. But the lions could go back and forth from one side to the other, but there was a stone that would be rolled over, probably from above, but that doorway could be closed. And the lions would be kept in one side, and the other side would be kept empty. And this lion's den was for a purpose. And so it is probably the case that Daniel was put in one side where the lions were not, and he had to wait there for a while until that door was open. Lions coming to this side. So imagine yourself.
All that's going to happen, sitting there, waiting.
And that's probably what it is that King Darius then spoke to Daniel. If you read of that in verse 16, he commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And then we read, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. To be Darius was standing up over the lion's den, shouting down to Daniel,
and he was waiting for that door to be opened, and the lions would then be let in. The lions were let in, and then they broke among one side of the others, and there was food in the other side. That's why the ice then goes from one side to the other.
Now as we look at what happened in the lion's den, there are two elements to this victory that we must consider this morning. First of all, we see the victory Daniel's unwavering faith. Even before Daniel emerges from the lion's den unscathed, we can see the great victory that God accomplished. The victory of Daniel's faith. First of all, then we look at this victory of faith. This is the victory of faith is, first of all, pointed out in the text. Verse 23 speaks of this. Then the end of verse 23, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Believing. That is the activity of faith. Point out here, Daniel believed in God. He was active and trusting in God. But this is the truth that is expressed here as well as found in the New Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 33, although Hebrews 11 does not mention Daniel specifically, it does mention this history. Verse 33 speaks there of the prophets. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, brought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. No doubt that is a reference. Daniel didn't stop the mouths of those lions, but said, through faith, stop the mouths of lions. The lions' mouths were stopped through faith. But stand out then in the text is the faith of Daniel. Well, that stands out in the text in contrast
eyes. The angel went through the line with them, the unwavering peace in all of us. The same cannot be said for King Darius, as he spends his life in his luxurious palace. On the one hand, Darius says in verse 16 of Daniel, "By God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." He says that, but he doesn't believe it. And how God did this, and the word of encouragement to Daniel, but Darius himself does not believe it. The truth is in what follows. That night in his palace, Darius could not eat or sleep. There was no peace in his palace that night, like there was just about every other night. There was no music playing. There was no great meal set out for the king and the visitors. His stomach was tied up in knots. He was nervous. He tossed and turned on his bed. He was then so nervous that his stomach was turning so much he could not eat, and his stomach began to vomit. That's what Darius had this night. Trying to go to bed. He couldn't sleep all night. He was thinking about going. He didn't know what was going to happen to his faithful servant. So he didn't know early in the morning from his bed, up to the lion's den, to see what would happen. He didn't know. So he called out to Daniel, hoping maybe that he might be alive, but not knowing what to do. That's Darius. That's unbelievable. And then he has his faith. In contrast, he looked at Daniel. Do not read about him with such anxiety for Daniel as he faces the lion's den. What strikes me is that Daniel spends the most peaceful night in the lion's den. And the king Darius does is a serious hell. Daniel is not tormented about what might happen. Mostly, he has seen and believed it is not possible. In God. That comes out of the fact in verse 22 when King Darius comes to find him in the morning. Daniel calmly answers him. 3 years in the lion's den, those lions are all around him. He says calmly, "My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me." It is the calmness that Daniel is allowing him to bring. He accepts them and finds two responses to the victory of heaven. On one hand, you have the response of King Darius, and on the other hand, you have the response of Daniel as the child of God. Outside the lion's den, there is fear and anxiety. In the lion's den, there is peace. And that is because of the great victory that God gave to Daniel there in the lion's den. This faith of which we're speaking here is the faith that God worked with them. This faith was the gift of God to Daniel. And this is the faith that God had strengthened so that he was calm there in the lion's den. You must notice some things about this faith of Daniel. First of all, the faith is characterized by not being afraid. Darius was afraid. Darius was anxious. He was nervous. So that during the dream was altered from deep and from sleep. That's the Daniel. He wasn't afraid. So that's only one aspect of it, the negative aspect of it. Positively, believing in God, Daniel trusted in God. This faith is trust. One who Daniel knows. He knows God. Maybe he was doubting. Darius was doubting what God was going to say later on. That's not faith. Daniel knew God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. Daniel had experienced that his whole life as he lived and worked. Right in the middle of the 25 Christian kingdom of that day. From the distance, from multiple, from the distance. And so knowing the Holy God in that love, knowing His love, and His justice, He is now God, He is living through His three friends, and He is fiery furnace. He experienced Himself how
God had taken care of him in all of those years, he had been in the kingdom of Babylon, now the kingdom of the Jews and the 30 members. Daniel then is in all. And he faced both the ferocious and hungry lion. The idea is that he trusted in the Holy God, and that trust showed itself in calmness in the midst of great difficulties. I want to understand something about that trust too. He did not trust the word, so there is no indication in the text about this, that Daniel had the assurance that God was going to keep him from being devoured by the coming lion. You don't remember, in fact, that Daniel having that expectation. That is, Daniel didn't know what was going to happen.
He might be, he knew that God was able to stop the mouth of the lion, so he wouldn't be. He knew the power of God.
But he didn't know what was going to happen. It could be that was the day that God. And he didn't know. Because he was being called. Here, only one of those two.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's a great wonder because, of course, he's a lion. Lions are ferocious.
The lions were out hungry, and they would not have been fed for days, so that they would be extremely hungry by this point and tear Daniel's body into pieces so that they could have something to eat.
It would be expected that these lions would pounce on Daniel and he would be full of sure.
Over all of these lions, we do not know how many there were, no doubt there were many. But miraculously, God stopped the mouths of these lions so that Daniel emerged unscathed. God did not allow even one scratch to be found on Daniel because of the lion. No doubt the lion was set in that chamber, and the Daniel was not even there. We read in the text that God did this by sending an angel to protect Daniel. Therefore, what we see is that God Himself and that angel will give Daniel. God was with Daniel. God was the one who protected Daniel. God was the one who stopped the mouth of those lions so that Daniel had a quiet night with God. In the lines of God. So he was a quiet night with God. There is that angel. This part of the text teaches us something important about our own salvation. First of all, it shows us the power of God. The power of God. Wicked man cannot stop that salvation. Those lions cannot stop that salvation. Nothing on this earth can stop the salvation of God. God is powerful, and therefore His cause is always victorious. God always accomplishes His purpose in the salvation of His people. We're reminded of that here. Also, that points us to the cross. The similarity is here. Who's the one who has his wicked men? God is a servant. Then it would be destroyed, that would be the end of the cross. He said, look at many years in his day. He is in pain and accomplished their purpose. They want to be dead and be gone away. They don't want the people following Jesus for him to the cross. And there he hung, in fact. And he died. He is the same one of the victory. God is doing all that to accomplish his purpose. God's purpose cannot be stopped. That is that very way that Jesus Christ accomplished God's salvation. On the third day, He rose again. God always accomplishes His purpose to save His people by will. Very hard to make this understood. Even that is true. And therefore, we sin to God and sin. Why then is Daniel saved? Why does Daniel say, that's an important question that we have to face here in the text, the cause of that was to read in verses 22 and 23. It says in verse 22, when Daniel takes the finger of Ayas, that then with how he spent in the lion's den, he says, for as much as before him innocence he was found in you, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He lives therefore as much as literally means he paused. He paused before him, and before Jehovah God, innocency was found in me. Now listen, I have done nothing wrong in my life 3 times a day. That's what he commanded me. That was what Daniel was saying. But if he did it, he paused. And then, verse 23, which is a commentary that has happened to me, it says, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in Jesus God. We might hear from this that the text is saying, Daniel was saved, Daniel was delivered, because of his faith. For all of Scripture, and all of Scripture is connected with all of Scripture teaches very clearly that God is not saving us. Why are you saved? Why are you going to heaven? Because of what you've done, because you've prayed, because you've lived with the courtesy, because you've read God's word, or
I'm saved by grace. I'm saved because God gave His Son for me. It's all of grace. We know that. We can trust that. That's the truth. We hear week after week. Because we need to hear that. We need to be reminded of the fact that our salvation has nothing to do with what we do. It's all the work of God. The Holy does not deny that. He must be sure of that. But instead, if you understand this text in relationship to other words that we read in Hebrews 11, think of Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's the truth that's brought out through the text. By grace, that is true of David. We know that Daniel was a man of prayer. We know that Daniel was a righteous man. Daniel speaks of that even in the text. He's not just obeying God when he prays three times. In fact, he is obeying God. Daniel also says, he has done nothing to hurt the king. He has not said that political rebel, that his enemy, is not hurting him, of being. That is not what Daniel was. Daniel is not a perfect man. He is a godly man. He is the wife of sanctification. He is the wife of trusting in the Holy God. And the point of the text then is that this is how it is God saves. God saves in such a way that when he looks so they can hear us, he becomes active. He has to focus on that, the activity of them in our faith. And of us, the activity of our faith, of trusting in God. We know and we confess salvation in all of God. We cannot earn anything with God. We are debtors to the law. The only basis for our salvation is the love of God, the trust of Jesus Christ. And God saves in such a way that we become active, working out our own salvation, which is something that we reject salvation. We're working out our own salvation. God that works within us to will and to do it with His covenant. And this is true, which is Psalm 13. So it stands in the good faith of Daniel is not the basis of his salvation. I will call out the past with a rumor, and I'm the rule, which is the best of things in my faith alone. I've brought out the many passages, but Galatians 2. Rather, Ephesians 2, I mean, it's very clear on this. They did not, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that out of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works. It is any man to go. First is grace, over against the subject. Not by works that we're saved, but by grace. Part of that grace is the gift of faith that God gives to us. Not the basis of our salvation. We don't need to be comforted to God while we're salvation. But in that truth, we are active even as Daniel was active in his own life. Active in prayer. Active in living as a godly man, the people of that anti-Christian kingdom. Always remember that. As we said last week, prayer is connected to a godly life. And it is connected to, and it is connected to the text. Prayer is related to trusting in God. We pray to God, because we have to trust in God. But in the way of praying, we pray to God to strengthen faith in us. In the way of asking God to strengthen our faith. So we also are reminded here that those who trust in God, they receive this gift of faith, they also pray and walk with His grace. That's one aspect of the question, why was Daniel saved? Now, when you add to that, why was Daniel saved then? In 6 years? That's an important question.
book of religion gives us faith. So we expect, because of what we read here, deliverance in this life is suffering, hardship, and persecution. We must not believe in the illusion that God will rescue his children from the perils, the pain, the suffering that we experience in this life while we live on this earth. We must acknowledge this morning that the life of the believer does not usually go the way that it did for Daniel, like he and when he faced the lions, he was delivered so that his life was many people face persecution around the world, and they do not feel affected until they are believed. About people who are sick, they are. In most instances, God does not deliver us from danger and suffering in person. No. The text tells us that we should understand, rather, that we do not expect this kind of deliverance is because of the book of Daniel. If we do, our expectation will be wrong and it will be off. It's necessary for us to understand that because there are so many today who do that very thing. You would no doubt use this history again and say, if you have enough faith, and if you pray enough, for Daniel at least 3 times a day, you'll be delivered from this prison. You will be God. You'll have riches. Or, what's that popular false gospel? Give, and God will bless you tenfold, sevenfold, however many fold it is. You'll have much more than you give. That is false. And that is not something that the text will teach.
But yet the question is still there. Why did God deliver Daniel? Why was this Daniel experience? Why was he delivered from the Lord?
God's purpose, I think, was successful in the Word of God himself, thank you. God determined that would glorify him more if Daniel remained alive rather than dying a martyr's death. Subject to more flowers. They look singular eyes than the trees from all over the temple. Did you see that? See the wisdom of God here in this. The way of Daniel's deliverance. Singular eyes were the tree that went throughout the temple. Declaration of the greatness of God, which is verse 26 and 27.
I make a decree that in every domain of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. Do not enter into judgment and judgment in your eyes. Understand the thing. Well, this whole thing, God's name was glorified by these very words. That's why God spared many of us in the line of truth. That's why, in other circumstances, God does not deliver the God of death in the church. Because that glorifies him. God has determined that that is the best way that his name be glorified. These are important principles for us to understand them this morning. Another view of that experience in life, and that focus turns to ourselves, we often become focused on what we think is best for us. And what we think is better than that. As if we know what's best for God to glorify
at the time. So we'll be thinking about some words today, because first of all, the very first decision, how do we value it? First, because above all else, I designed it as God's name be served. I don't care what happens to me, let God's name be served. If I persecute and I have to die, let God's name be served. If I have to die because of some horrible disease, let God's name be served. to our desire about all
things. Unless we take the focus on God, that is our key.
The most important thing in life is not my comfort. It's not that I be glorified or I have a duty. The most important is that God be glorified and I be glorified. You know then from the text, the end of this deliverance of Daniel. After Daniel was delivered from the lions, then King Darius made the decree that these enemies of Daniel, that they and their wives and their children be thrown into that den of lions. And there was welcome the fact that they were devoured. But the bones didn't even touch the ground before they were devoured. It was also part of the great victory of fear in the lions again. God chose to, when he does to those who are the enemies of fear, and his people. The same purpose was exactly rendered in the name for what they had done to the faithful servant Daniel, while he was the servant of God. But God used this to revenge those who defied Daniel's worship of the human being, and they hated God's people. He kept over here in this way, this is the end of all those who hate God and hate the church. They will be eternally condemned. They will experience the fullness of God's wrath to hell. Not only will God reward those who know him to keep him, to keep him power equally, God rewards those who oppose him. God rewards those that meet him today. He rewards them with the judgment that they deserve. God avenges them. Well, that's important too. Daniel didn't do that on himself. God took care of that avenger. Vengeance is mine,
said the Lord. He punishes the evildoers. We need not do that ourselves. Also, Daniel's deliverance receives the prophecy in the deliverance of the people of Israel. Daniel here represented the people of Israel. People of Israel had been absorbed into the kingdom of Babylon. Now they have been absorbed in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. God is pointing out, maybe we'll be delivered from your captivity. Now I'm glad that I already started. When I return to Jerusalem, and there will be more to your return to Jerusalem as well. And then you're perfect for that. God is living. So that Jesus Christ will be coming. God will save his people. Deliver them to Jerusalem so that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem. What we have is that there's a beautiful end to the historical part of the book of Daniel. This is the end of the historical part that the son of the end, the prophetical part of the book of Daniel. This is a beautiful end to this book, the historical part of the book, where it declares victory of God's kingdom. Victory of the people of Israel are returning to Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple, and Jesus Christ is born again. But he cares more for us. Jesus Christ is coming. We can ensure the victory of God's kingdom. We can ensure that right now. For is that kingdom? Well, we know that the kingdom is in the heart. The life of Jesus Christ in that moment took place.
That kingdom reigns
in us. We need to be assured of that, literally. Think about that in the sense. That is very good. And if you don't, you know, you might think that that kingdom will be done. But they know my kingdom rules. And rules in you. That life of Jesus Christ has been given to us. You need to be assured of that for the spirit. Talk about that Wednesday night. Spirit of an Antichrist, that's in the world today. And an Antichrist to come, who has the object and goal of devouring the church, destroying the church. That's the Antichrist will not, cannot do. He will not be victorious
at least from a spiritual point of view, may be able to destroy our bodies, but not take our souls away from God. This is the point about not only the history of God's grace, but especially the history that there is through the church. One day, for all of you to come to faith and look at me, to enjoy the church, God's kingdom is forever. Time after time, hope again, and 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 hope again, through the prison, through the Antichrist, they all went. It's not complete. One single election, the one single major problem. That's the reason it exists forever. Now we're just in the heavens and the earth. We are the people who brought the world home and think that we were trusted. Amen forever. Amen forever. So that means to a son and to a few who went up to the third world. Thank you.